This is Biotechnica, and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
Our world is an instance of awful scientific myths that are perambulating since centuries, though most of them were refuted years ago. These rumors just won't go away. So hey friends, well guessed. Today's Voice of Biotechnica will be decoding some of these old wives' tales. And this is once again Priyanjana Ghosh, your host for the day. So let's just dig into these top 10 scientific myths that has been decoded. Starting with the first one, a very common myth which all of us is bearing is about the Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the world's tallest mountain. So this is a very common notion we all have. But to measure all 8,848 meters of this unforgiving spike of rock is one of the human greatest achievements. But anyone who claims to have conquered the world's tallest mountain would be definitely incorrect. So you must be thinking, why so? So basically, the title goes to Mauna Kea, a volcanic peak in Hawaii with a summit of 4,205 meters. But hold on, that's much shorter than Everest. In fact, that the number is only the amount peaking above the sea level, friends. Yes, you guessed it right. The rest of its enormity goes all the way to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, measuring a total of, from the base to the peaks, about 10,000 meters, making it the tallest mountain on the planet. So technically, Everest is the tallest mountain above sea level, but a more formidable title would be the highest point on the earth. The second one, the Great Wall of China can be seen from the space. This is absolutely a hilarious one. And this myth is a very, very common one. Okay, so this is a common fact. Everybody seems saying that this Great Wall of China can be seen from the space. Now, this man-made structure is impressively massive and one of the most magnificent historical destinations to visit, no doubt. But is it big enough to can be seen from the space? What do you think? No, absolutely no. This remains a wonder only on the Earth. Numerous astronauts have confirmed it, that it can't be seen with the naked eye in orbit, and certainly not from the surface of the moon even. So the myth has been an exaggerated in popular culture since the 18th century, before people actually went into space, and still now it is continuing. So, but based on its measurements, spotting it from the moon would be like trying to see a human hair from 2 miles away. So the fact is, despite being 13,171 miles in length, it's only approximately 6 meters in width, making it far too narrow to be visible. So those astronauts who claim to have seen the Great Wall have been proven to have mistaken the object for a river, in particular the Grand Canal of China. So finally it's decoded that we cannot see Great Wall from the space. Okay, yes, hope you liked it. Now digging to the third myth which has been decoded. Bumblebee flight violates the laws of physics. Oh, let's see this. So indeed, presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, he used the line while out campaigning in 2008. It's scientifically impossible for the bumblebee to fly. But the bumblebee, being unaware of these scientific facts, flies anyway. So it's a myth that science is baffled by bee flight. Now this misconception seems to have come from a 1934 French book called Leopoldus Insectus. As that suggested that insects, not just the bumblebee, shouldn't be able to fly. But of course, they can, and the physics behind it isn't a great mystery to the scientists. So yes, if you manipulate the same calculations you would use to explain why an aeroplane flies, then these shouldn't be able to take off. But a flash glance will confirm that bees are not planes. So in the 1990s, it was discovered that the secret of their flight comes from air swirling in a tight circle over the wing, and that vortex is a low pressure region above the wing and it sucks the wing upwards. And this theory was explained by Sir Shirley Ellington, Professor of Animal Mechanics at the University of Cambridge. So what people make myth out of anything, my God. Such a glaring example we got to see, friends. Okay, now coming up with the fourth mystery. Rather, these are mysteries only, because these myths has been decoded and these myths actually were leading to the mysteries in our mind. Okay, so I just uttered the term mystery. Now coming to the fourth one, which is red enrages bulls. Okay, we have this common myth, we all know about this. From city to villages, hey, don't wear a red gown or a red anything that can enrage a bull. So we have all seen bulls bear down at the sight of someone waving a red cape in their face. So even there are popular sayings such as seeing red or red mist to describe anger overcoming us. So in all truth, however, bulls are colorblind, first and foremost. So it's not the color of the cape that enrages the animal, but the flapping movement of the material. In tests conducted by science's favorite tandem, Mythbusters, a bull was presented with three dummies holding capes of varying colors. And it was really proven that the bull would charge at the cape that was moving, regardless of the color. Oh, finally, you're free to wear red dresses in front of them. Okay, now, coming up with the fifth myth, that is, and we all know with this fifth myth, there is even a proverb. Chameleons can change to any color. This is the myth we have in all our mind. So about 70% of the adults believe this one. And even there are proverbs and idioms on this, but despite a chameleon can't turn itself tartan or mimic the pattern of our wallpaper as part of its camouflage capabilities. The chameleon does have an extraordinary color changing ability, but it actually shifts color in response to mood, and which is in accordance with a change in its body temperature, or to communicate rather than to blend in with its environment. So for instance, they are able to turn themselves as bleach white in direct sunshine to reflect the heat, or turn dark in the cold to absorb light, while a male's colorful patterned body can be a mating display. My God, extremely intelligent. So a little bonus fact is that the outermost skin of a chameleon is transparent. They change color through layers of cells, which is called as chromatophores, and that contain different pigments to making up its striking natural palette. Okay, so isn't it interesting? Really. Now, so moving to the sixth myth. And the sixth myth is, lightning never strikes in the same place twice. Yes, this is also a very common myth we have amongst all of us. So, like, yes, definitely lighting definitely is going to strike in the same place twice. See, like, these trees and tall buildings are often hit repeatedly by lightning that isn't too fussy about what it targets. And during one storm, it took 8 strikes in less than half an hour. And of course, the main purpose of the idiom is to encourage people to try something more than once. And it's a foxy way of informing them that a bad experience is unlikely to be repeated. For that. And again, not always true. A man once was hit by lightning on 7 different occasions, seeing him enter the Guinness World Records. While Tsutomu Yamaguchi had an even more traumatic experience. A man from Asian country and managing to be hit by both the Nagasaki and Hiroshima atomic bombings. So just think or imagine that how these myths has been created. It's just like the making up of stories out of anything. Okay, so moving to the next one is, we generally say this, that there are left or right-brained people. Okay, what do you mean by that? Now, the school of thought was always that creative types were more right-brained. And while more calculated and detailed, folk channeled the left half of their brain. So it's a neat way to classify personality traits, but studies have shown no indication that individuals have stronger left or right halves of their brains. The University of Utah, they conducted a 2-year study with more than 1,000 participants whose brains were observed as they performed various tasks. Now, while the researchers found it was true that the left and right parts of the brain are really responsible for the alternative functions like language for the left and attention for the right, no brain was stronger either way. So as Dr. Jeff Anderson, the study's lead author, stated, that the truth is that it would be a highly inefficient for one half of the brain to consistently be more active than the other. And this is how we proved that there is no such notion that we can say that he is a left brain people or he's a right brain people. Got it? Yes. So, coming with the 8th myth we have. Now we say that we have 5 senses, and again with this we have framed up a lot of idioms and proverbs. So what are the 5 senses? Generally we mention is sight, smell, taste, hearing and touch. And these senses categorized by Aristotle himself. So what do you think? Is it the only senses we have? While we have long focused on these as our set of tools, the truth is that we have far more, even as many as 20. The big 5 might seem to have every base covered, but we're more perceptual than we realize. What about our ability to sense temperatures? Isn't that a sense? Which is popularly called as thermoception? Or what about our ability to balance the upright while skiing? It's called as equilibrioception. So what about these sensations? Aren't these senses? So where would you class these? How about hunger, thirst, motion or spatial awareness? Without these senses, we would operate on a rather basic level. So boiling all human senses down to just 5 doesn't make a science happier. So each sense can be subcategorized into further senses. For example, I'll give you There's noiception, or we can say nociception, which is a sense of pain. Proprioception, which is a sense of knowing where your limbs are. Time perception. So we are alert to many influences playing on our body and brain receptors. So scientists make sense when they say we have more than five. And it is not that even so many teachers and lecturers, I have seen that they are mentioning that we have five senses only. No, it's the biggest misconception we have. We have senses beyond those five senses, and it has been proved. So coming to the second last myth we have, we only use 10% of our brain. We also say this sometimes, okay? So yes, we would like to think that we only use 10% of our brain, with the rest waiting like an empty hard drive, ready to be filled. Oh really? Now sadly, this isn't the case. There are several Hollywood movies, I tell you, based on this theme, but it don't help to debunk the myth portraying the world in which unlocking that extra 90% has us learning languages in seconds or becoming instant experts in anything from combat or mechanics. So we process so much information at any one time that our neurons and synapses are firing across the whole brain almost non-stop. And any function or task we perform constantly stimulates different parts of our brain. If you have heard about MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, MRI scans conducted by neuroscientists have proved that the organ is lit up with activity even during the most trivial tasks. So there's also the case of head injuries. Even the smallest ding to the head can cause severe trauma and brain damage. So if 90% of our brains lay dormant, we would be able to lop off our non-functioning section and work around perfectly fine. So this, as we know, is impossible. Finally crushing the myth is the evolution argument. That we can do, and nothing out of it. So nature is such an efficient system, I would say, that having a large redundant amount of gray matter we have taking up space in our craniums would have been sufficiently secured eons ago. And the brain is a huge drain on our energy. It's estimated that it draws around 20% of our total energy. So having to power such a large percentage with no benefit doesn't make any biological sense. So now on, when we are stating this proverbs, we should think not even twice. We should think 10 times before saying such proverbs to anyone. Okay? So yes, friends, we have been almost to the last part of our session. That is the 10th myth we have. And that is an interesting one. We say that sharks can't get cancer. So again, a misconception. So this misconception is regarding this that can be traced back to the 1970s when researchers at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine discovered that cartilage stopped the growth of new blood vessels in the tissue. And this was a key characteristic of malignant tumors. So since shark skeletons are made entirely of cartilage, it's no wonder that researchers' attention turned to sharks. And scientists also discovered that they had a lower rate of disease and began exposing them to high levels of carcinogens. Although there were no results to prove that the sharks didn't develop tumors. So the most damage came when Dr. William Lane gained notable media attention for his book, Sharks Don't Get Cancer. Following dubious clinical trials, he claimed remarkable results from shark cartilage. And rather more suspiciously, Lane then set up his own business, selling peels of powdered shark cartilage as an alternative treatment for cancer. Beyond imagination. Wonderful. So this FDA conducted clinical trials of the pill on three separate occasions, and they found it to have no effect whatsoever. So further blowing the theory out of the water, a 2004 study from the University of Hawaii found multiple tumors in a range of sharks, skates and rays, and even tumors in shark cartilage itself. So again, we got to know about this misconception. So we have come up to the end of our session, and see, time flies really, no? So we have ended our session with so much of misconceptions which we had cleared it out today. So it's time to say goodbye, pals. But before that, did you all recover from the cobweb of these myths? And if yes, please do share your views regarding the same, and also let us know that if you have decoded any one of them. Thank you so much, and stay tuned to our very own podcast, Voice of Biotechnica, and we'll join with you in another session with another interesting fact. For then, bye and have a good day. Thank you.